This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Coming up at 11:30, we'll talk Blues hockey with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber. But every Monday, we get a chance to talk Mizzou sports with Dave Matter. Dave, good to be with you. How are you?
Good, Frank. How's it going?
Very good. Well, not a great weekend for Missouri recruiting, both on the basketball side and on the football side. Let's begin with the basketball side. I guess it wasn't a surprise. It was trending that Knox wasn't going to end up a Tiger, and it didn't work out that way. He's headed to Kentucky. I thought he'd end up at Duke or North Carolina, where they'd stick him on the floor and have him play 35 minutes and get a lot of shots. But I guess you can't second-guess a kid for choosing Kentucky to play basketball.
Yeah, that was the big surprise. You know, Kentucky has, I think, five-star players in their incoming class already. You know, everything that Kevin Knox's dad had said kind of alluded to this idea that he wanted to be the man in this class, and if not the man, then share that spotlight with somebody big like Michael Porter. So, but I'm not surprised he didn't go to Missouri. I did think Duke was kind of a natural place for him to go and replace Jason Tatum's role and his production, or maybe North Carolina. I know there was a time when Missouri's staff kind of felt like North Carolina was going to be the leader on this thing. And you never count out John Calipari, but there just wasn't much buzz for him going to Kentucky. Even the national recruiting analysts that, you know, go to all these AAU tournaments and all these all-star games and McDonald's All-American game and are plugged into this stuff pretty closely were pretty shocked by this development. Those guys they rarely get shocked. So that one was a little bit of a surprise.
Not that he plays the same position, but what does this do to the Jonte Porter recruitment? And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm under the impression, I get this vibe that Konzo is really a classy guy, and he doesn't want to, you know, force this Jonte thing too much. Not that he could, but he doesn't because he knows that, you know, a senior year in high school and getting the accolades and being the man, and you only get a chance to be a senior in high school once means a lot. So he's not going to be relentless on this. Is that your take too?
Yeah, I would interpret it the same way, especially that Michael Porter Sr. is on the staff, the guy that knows this kid best. I think he'd probably defer to his dad at this point and say, hey, you know, let's figure out how this is going to work out, but not put too much pressure on Jonte. I mean, even if they get him in 2018 and he goes through his senior year of high school, they're going to be getting a top 10 player nationally, most likely, if he keeps trending the way he is. So it's going to work out for Missouri in the most part. I mean, no one's really talking about Jonte going somewhere else, and he's not talking about going anywhere else. So I think in the end, he's going to play for Missouri. It's just a matter of when. And I don't think, yeah, you're right. I don't think Konzo wants to put any pressure on him and say, hey, you need to skip your senior year of high school. We don't want you to experience the prom and the McDonald's All-American game and all this fun stuff your brother got to do because we need you now. This thing will run its course eventually. I don't think the Knox decision that will have much impact on it at all. Like you said, they do play different positions. And I don't think Missouri was surprised by the Knox decision. They got in late on this. They took their best shot. But, you know, the reality was those other schools have gotten to know him and recruit him so much longer than Missouri did.
Do you know anything more about the Jeremiah Tillman Wild recruitment?
I wish, man. This thing is just, the silence is the craziest thing. I mean, people at East St. Louis have said they want this situation to be as quiet as possible, and eventually things are going to, will develop one direction or the other. So, I don't have a good read on this. It's one of the more unique recruiting situations, you know, scenarios I can remember. At some point, Missouri, I'm sure, would like an answer, but, you know, they've got that one scholarship open. He's a big man, and he's going to be highly sought after. So, you know, you can't force a kid to make a decision when he has all the leverage. So we'll see how this develops over in the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. Who knows?
Even if they don't get another player and they're trotting out that Cassius Robertson, the shooting guard from Canisius, Michael Porter Jr., Terrence Phillips, Barnett, Roberts, Harris, per year. That's probably an NCAA tournament team, or it should be.
You know, they've got there's that hole in the lineup of, okay, who's the big man on this team? Not that they need a big man to score 20 points a game, but you need somebody to play some post defense. You need to protect the rim a little bit. Are you going to rely on Reed Nicko that much? You don't know Mitchell Smith's knee situation, how healthy he's going to be come November and December. But there is the makings, I think, of a really competitive team. I mean, you take last year's team, which wasn't good. We know that. But they were competitive against better teams in the SEC from time to time, especially at home. Now you add the best high school player in the country. You add two guards that I think will make an impact right away in Roberts and Harris. And then you add a veteran guard who can be your three-point shooter, which this team hasn't had in a couple of years. So, yeah, they're adding some serious components that they haven't had. And, you know, the biggest factor of all is Porter Jr. I mean, he's not only the best high school player in the country, you know, he could be – we've seen freshmen come in and become instant All-Americans because of just how talented they are. And who knows, maybe he is good enough to be that good as a freshman in college. We know he's an NBA draft pick, but will he be a really productive, great college player from day one? It's a lot of pressure to put on the kid, but, you know, that possibility is really there.
And I guess we could say that, too, that at LSU and at Washington, where they had Washington could have the top pick this year, that the last two teams to have the number one pick in the draft, they didn't make the NCAA tournament either.
Absolutely, and that we can't forget about that. I will say the one difference is, you know, those were coaches that had been there for a while, and didn't exactly have a lot of success leading up to getting that great player. This is just such a new situation. You got a brand new coach. You figure everybody on this team is going to be bought in because they're tired of losing, and they've got a new voice and control, and they've got this new infusion of talent. So it is a little bit different, but you're right. Those other situations are reminders that this is not automatic, that adding one great high school player and some other good parts is going to equal you know, an overnight success. But I still think the possibility is really there.
We're talking with Dave Matter, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. So yesterday, the Missouri football team got some bad news. Cameron Brown, an outstanding wide receiver from CBC, maybe the fastest player in town in that class, has decided that he'll go to Nebraska instead of Missouri. What's your reaction to that?
I thought the biggest surprise from that for me was that I saw an interview where he said he made this decision 5 weeks ago. And I didn't expect any of these kids, the St. Louis kids, to really have this thing wrapped up, their decision, that quickly. I mean, I think you had him in the studio not within that 5 weeks, and all these guys were talking about how wide open things were.
Yeah.
So that was a little surprising. Not necessarily that he's going to Nebraska. You know, they have recruited the state of Missouri well. They got Trey Bryant, his former high school teammate at CBC, just a couple years ago. You know, they're not the Nebraska of the 1990s, but, you know, they still do recruit well. And, you know, people can say, well, that program hasn't been very good in a while. They won 9 games last year, and it wasn't really considered a great year for the Huskers under Mike Riley. So I think they're trending upward. So, you know, it's one recruit doesn't ruin Missouri's class, but it's obviously not the way that Barry Odom wanted to start with this pivotal year for the local recruits.
How many commits does he have in this class coming up?
He's got two. Harry Ballard is considered a commitment.
Okay.
The McClure North wide receiver who's in junior college right now and expected to join the team next year, and then the quarterback from Alabama. So you've got those two on board. You know, having a quarterback in place, a guy that the staff really targeted for a while and by all accounts really wants to help with recruiting is important. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you lose out on a receiver for now. I mean, there's obviously minds can change, decisions can change over time. But, yeah, there's just two on the board as of now.
Well, let me just say this to our Missouri fans. As good as Cameron Brown is and as good as Cameron Babb is, I got to tell you something, Harry Ballard is every bit as good. I mean, Harry Ballard athletically is off the charts. So if they can get that guy on the field, and will he have 3 years or 4 years to play?
He should have 3 because I believe he's redshirting 1 year and playing 1 year at junior college. So he would have 3 years to play at Missouri.
Yeah, well, he is an unbelievable athlete. He's a good, nice kid too. I hope it works out academically for him. Now, we got a couple of texts here. Somebody wanted me to ask you that if Barry Odom falls short in this recruiting class, could he be on a short leash with another subpar year? I mean, Jim Stark did not hire him, did he?
I think if they fail to make a bowl game this year, I think that will have repercussions on the class. And if those things go hand in hand, then I think you go into 2018 with a lot of pressure on you. I don't see him losing his job after year two, short of some kind of great off-field scandal or something like that, which I don't anticipate having. But I think he gets a third year. And you know what? You can still win. You can still build a roster for the future without getting these local guys. But it's so much easier when you got them right there in your backyard, and they're exposed to the program more so than players in Alabama or Florida or Texas.
Didn't one preseason prognostication pick Missouri 14th out of 14 teams in the SEC?
Yeah, I saw one of the writers, I think at ESPN, maybe did that. And when you look at last year, they finished last in the East. To find a team to put behind them, you got to find somebody who is trending downward, less than Missouri or more than Missouri. And, I don't know. I think Vanderbilt you can probably put there as the last place team. Ole Miss is not going the right direction. But when you're 4-8, you're 4-8. Even though they won two of their last three games, and they return a lot of pieces to that offense. I still think there's a lot to prove on defense for Missouri, that they can get back to playing the way they used to play and not so much like they did last year.
So there have been some articles recently in your paper about Mizzou shutting down more dorms as enrollment continues to drop drastically. And we're talking about, ever since the 2015 incident where Melissa Click is calling for muscle to remove student journalists that was attempting to the big student 1950 protest. I'm wondering, do you think this is having any effect in terms of recruitment for the football program?
It could. It's kind of hard to measure if it is, unless you just ask every player that gets a Missouri offer if it was a factor. I haven't heard players that have been interviewed or that I've talked to that have not chosen Missouri have said that that's a factor. Although I think the farther you get away from that, the less of a factor it is. Now, I think it may be more so for just general students, and not just that incident, but just kind of the cloud of issues going on in Missouri that I think may contribute to that. Even though I think athletics, I'm not going to say it's immune to those problems, but we're seeing other sports at Missouri do just fine. And actually, the department as a whole is having one of its best years ever if you look at wins and losses and national rankings across the board. It's just football and men's basketball have struggled a little bit. So I think athletics will recover from those incidents, that era, maybe better than the whole university will. But it's gonna take a little bit more time, I think. So we'll see. But it's really a fascinating situation the whole university is faced right now. And I know the numbers aren't good, and to say, wow, this is the lowest, it's going to be the smallest freshman class in 20 years. The enrollment's going to be back to what it was, I think, in the projections out of 1998. I was a student, and I don't remember Missouri being a small university back then. It was just fine for my taste. So maybe not being the biggest is not the worst thing in the world. Who knows?
Baseball-wise, is Tanner Houck still on schedule to be a first-round draft choice, and how would you evaluate Missouri's baseball season?
Well, I think his season's been kind of up and down. He had a great start Saturday at Vanderbilt. His numbers haven't been great. He hasn't gotten very good run support. I think he's been very good this year. He hasn't maybe been as dominant as some would have thought, but I still think he's got the stuff to be a first-round draft pick. Maybe not, and a lot of that just depends, too, on what their agent is looking for and contract talks and all that, or where you land in the first round. As far as their season goes, they've won 29 games. That's the most any first-year coach at Missouri has ever won in baseball. The season looks like a disappointment because they won 20 in a row at one point, but they fell back to earth once they got into SEC play. And they're just they're just not really good at any one thing, and they've struggled at conference play. They're probably going to have to win the SEC tournament to get into an NCAA regional, so they're a huge long shot at this point. But considering how bad this team was and the fact that Steve Beza didn't really add any recruits, these are all he's playing with the former staff recruits and players, I still think you take some positives away from this season. But when you win 20 in a row, you kind of think, okay, this season is going to shape up to be really good, and it just hasn't.
Good stuff. All right, Dave, we will talk next week. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks, Frank.
All right, Dave Matter joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Winning streak sponsors our listener line, 855-282-8255 is the phone number to call if you'd like to be a part of the program. And we'll take some calls maybe in our final segment today. We'll talk a little hockey with Dave Matter. I mean, a little hockey with Chris Kerber a little bit later in the program. I do want to tell you that Winning Streak is the place to go for uniforms. Yes, go to winningstreak.com. They will come to your practice. They will set you up very nicely. Then they'll bring them back to Dupo to make the uniforms and then bring them back a finished product. Winning Streak, proud sponsor of our listener line. When we come back, a little Blues hockey with Chris Kerber.